Hare Krishna, Vara Vinodini, and she is asking some questions about chanting Hare Krishna. So let's talk about those. The first question she's asking is that aside from is it possible to chant Hare Krishna in a way that disturbs other people, that disturbs non-devotees, devotees, mayavadis, etc., and therefore it becomes counterproductive. Here we should keep in mind two considerations. One is the absolute, and that is the relevant. An absolute consideration is that any way that someone hears or speaks Krishna's holy name is transcendentally beneficial for them, and they will benefit from that. It will move them on in their spiritual life, and either in this life or in a future life, they will simply just tatāde antara prāpti continue on. But that doesn't mean that when we chant Hare Krishna, we should be oblivious to the relative consideration. Relative consideration meaning that we may upset some people by how we're chanting Hare Krishna. For instance, neighbors next to the temple, if we're chanting with open window in such a way that we're blatantly, who knows, getting them up at 4:30 in the morning. It's a material consideration, but still they may be very much turned off from chanting Hare Krishna, because although they're spiritually benefited, but still they're materially upset. Similarly, a Harinam party may be benefiting the whole city by chanting Hare Krishna. But say if you're standing too long in front of someone's store, and that's keeping from customers going into that store, or no one in the store can talk to each other, then that becomes counterproductive. So then, although they're benefited from the absolute point of view, but still they're discouraged or they're turned off from the relative point of view. So what to do? Well, the best thing is that to be able to chant in such a way that people appreciate it both from the relative and absolute point of view. That in the example of our neighbor, that we don't open the windows during Mangalarti, that we don't disturb somebody else. In other words, that people don't have really any legitimate cause for concern or complaint. If people don't like the chanting over and beyond all of those reasonable efforts that we're making, then ultimately there's nothing that you can do. For instance, someone comes into a temple and sees the devotees chanting Hare Krishna, but they're still upset because they just don't like to see that type of thing. Just like sometimes people don't like to see people bowing down on the floor, then there's nothing that we can do. But we should make sure that materially everything is justifiable. Oh, just like, for instance, someone may come into the temple room and not like to see that men and women are not together, but women are on one side and men are on the other side of the temple room. What can you do? That's our practice. But if the women are one side and men are the other side, in a way that women are in 10% of the temple room, squished in, and men are in 90% of the temple room, then and they're upset because they see that type of prejudice and chauvinism, then they have a right to be confined. So we shouldn't use the argument, well, people are absolutely benefited, because while it may be the case, they may only start practicing Krishna consciousness in a future life when they forget their bad experience, relative experience that turned them off from the holy name. And we should avoid that as much as possible. Therefore, we should do both. Good spiritual and good material arrangement. The other question is that, yes, we hear about the kirtan leader's responsibility for chanting Hare Krishna nicely, but what's the responsibility of the other devotees, the devotees who are responding? Well, they have, it's a sankirtan. Sankirtan means bahumilita kirtanam dasya sankirtanam. Many people come together to chant Krishna's names. We want to have a common mood when we're chanting. So the other devotees' responsibility is not only that they're responding responsively to what the kirtanir is saying. In other words, when they're chanting slowly, they also respond slowly. When they do fast, they reply fast. When they sing softly, they also sing softly in the same tune, and so on. And but that the overall mood is a mood of unity, a mood of unity in pleasing Krishna, that everyone's there to please Krishna. And if we don't please Krishna, you please Krishna in your way, I please Krishna in my way. But in Sankirtan, it means that we're actually together, Sankirtana, that we're pleasing Krishna together as a common mood or a common offering. And that then becomes the real duty of the whole group of devotees, that ultimately leader, followers, that it becomes a unified voice glorifying Krishna. And the last question is yes, which you've heard probably before, is many people say that you shouldn't try to enjoy the holy name, but you should serve the holy name. So what does serving the holy name mean? Serving means first hearing, shravanam, kirtanam, then chanting, then repeating. So we want to serve Krishna's holy name. Service means that we're glorifying Krishna by this process of shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam, but especially shravanam and kirtanam. And enjoying means that I enjoy the music, I enjoy the dancing. Not that that's not meant to be enjoyable, but that that's my prominent and main purpose or motivation in the kirtan. That's what I'm absorbed in. I'm not absorbed in trying to please Krishna, but I'm absorbed in the music, I'm absorbed in the good vibes, I'm absorbed in the nice experience. A nice experience comes anyway when we please Krishna. It's a question of which one we place as a priority and our main meditation and absorption. Hare Krishna.